Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
In Romans chapter 7 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul is showing us the pernicious nature of sin. How injurious, how destructive, how deadly it is. We know that, at least academically, if we have any contact with the Bible and believe what it says. But we don't really know it as much as we ought to know it. We don't know the extent of it as much as we should. And that's what Paul is trying to help us to understand here in Romans 7, verses 12 and 13. Verse 12 says, therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, just, and good. Has then what is good, namely God's law, become death to me? Certainly not, God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good. So, Paul talks about sin here almost as if it were a living agent. As though sin were the devil, or the sin were a demon, or sin were some kind of living being that is working perniciously, destructively, injuring us in every way that it can. He's talking about it that way. He has personified sin. Of course, what he means is the sinful human heart, the sinful human soul, the sinful human nature with its corrupted thoughts, its corrupted will, its corrupted way of acting and thinking, that sin corrupted heart of man will take the very law of God, which is good, and anything which is good, anything given by God, which is good, just, and right, and holy, sin will take it and misuse it and corrupt it to the extent that it is able. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not, but sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good. Sin was producing death in me through what is good. Not producing death in me through what is bad. Not producing death in me through bad things like adultery and drunkenness and gambling and risky behavior. But sin, Paul tells us, was producing death in me through what is good. And of course, the good thing that he's talking about here is the law of God. And sin was taking the law of God and producing death in Paul. Now, we know, of course, that the violation of God's law brings condemnation. But what Paul means by this is that sin was taking the law of God and causing Paul to so misunderstand and misuse the law of God, that it was hastening the development of death in his life. Sin was hastening the process of death and dying in Paul's life by using the very law of God to do it. Because so deceived was Paul regarding the law of God before he was struck down by Christ on the Damascus Road, that he thought by following the law of God in its corrupted form, as he misunderstood it, that he was thereby earning salvation. And actually, all he was doing was hastening onward toward condemnation and eternal hell. And his religion was blinding him to his need of salvation. And his religion was hastening his destruction. And his religion was based upon the Word of God. A corruption of it, of course, but it was based upon the Word of God. He was a Jew following the Old Testament scriptures. And sin, in his own heart, was working so actively that it was taking the holy law of God, which is holy, just, and good, and using it to hasten Paul to eternal destruction. That's what sin will do. Sin will take anything good that God has created and distort it and use it for ill. Sin will distort Christianity. Christianity, when it's biblical Christianity, is good. It's wonderful. It's perfect. And it is highly beneficial to the welfare of men, both for time and for eternity. But you let sin get a hold of Christianity and corrupt it, and it turns that which is good into that which is highly destructive. Not everything that is called Christian is truly Christian, according to the biblical definition of it. Not every church that calls itself a church of Christ, and I don't mean that in the denominational sense, calls itself a Christian church, and again, I don't mean that in the denominational sense, but not every church that claims to be a Christian church is Christian, because sin has a way of corrupting Christianity so that you hardly recognize it. You can go to some churches every Sunday of the year and never hear a clear gospel message. Never hear a message exposing man's sinfulness and his need of salvation. Never making clear the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ upon the cross for sinners, and thereby deceiving people into thinking because they are going to church and listening to sermons and they belong to a church and they call themselves Christians that they are ready to meet God. And in that way, sin is taking that which is good and producing death in the lives of people who are being deceived thereby. And sin will do that with Christianity. Sin will do that with the church. Sin will do that with the gospel. Sin will do that with evangelism. Not everything that calls itself the gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not everything that calls itself evangelism is biblical evangelism. I hope you understand that. I hope you are sensitive to that. I hope you are committed to biblical Christianity, the biblical gospel, and to biblical evangelism. I hope you are fervently committed to all of those things, and I hope you are committed to them enough so that you will examine everything that claims to fit into any of those categories, and that you will refuse to be deceived by distortions of biblical Christianity, distortions of the biblical gospel, distortions of biblical evangelism, and that you will not cooperate with that which is a corruption of biblical Christianity or the gospel or evangelism. I throw in the gospel and evangelism because, of course, what I described the first time, most people would have put in the category of apostate liberal mainline Christianity. We know that's liberal. We know that's apostate. We know that's corrupt for the most part. And so we don't get deceived by that. Some people may, but we don't. We who are Bible-believing, fundamental, evangelical Christians, all kinds of terms that can be properly understood or misunderstood, can be properly used or be misused, of course. Sin has a way of doing that. But I would presume that most of the people who are listening to this broadcast are people who are interested in the Bible. After all, that's what we do on the Beacon broadcast. We teach the Bible. And if people have adopted a style of Christianity which is not true to the Bible, and they are determined to adhere to that, then they're not going to be drawn to the Beacon broadcast or to any Bible teaching broadcast or ministry. Of course, sometimes people who are caught up in error will be drawn by the Spirit of God to the place where they can hear the truth and will be liberated. They will know the truth, and the truth will make them free, free from sin, free from deception, free from corrupted Christianity, free from a false gospel. And I trust that there are people like that listening to the broadcast today, brought by the Holy Spirit of God to listen to the truth. But I'm afraid there are true born-again Bible-believing Christians who are nevertheless very foolish and very naive when it comes to the gospel and to evangelism, and do not understand this pernicious nature of sin, which can take that which is good and corrupt it into that which is an instrument of death and destruction. You don't have to change the gospel in order to distort it. You can leave certain elements out. Beware of a gospel that does not strongly emphasize sin and the true nature of sin as revealed in the Bible. Beware of a gospel presentation that talks only about the love of God, but very little about the wrath of God. Beware of a gospel presentation that presents the gospel almost entirely in terms of benefits, human benefits. If you'll receive Jesus Christ, you will be happier. You will be healthier. This will make you have a happy home. This will enable you to have a happy marriage, and so forth and so on. All of which things are true to a point. The gospel doesn't guarantee any of those things, but certainly those who know the Lord and are enabled by their regenerated condition and their understanding of biblical truth and the indwelling Holy Spirit within them can certainly help us to have homes and marriages and jobs and lives that are much more happy and successful than they would be otherwise. But Jesus doesn't promise that if you will receive Him, that you will automatically have a happy marriage. In fact, He talks about the gospel dividing homes, driving wedges between husbands and wives and between parents and their children, causing all kinds of divisions and problems. Where is that emphasized? Where do you hear that talked about? If you receive Jesus Christ, you may be alienated from your mate if they're not a true born-again Christian. You will be, certainly, unless God brings them to salvation. You may be alienated from your children. You may be alienated from your parents. You may, from a human standpoint, have a less happy life. Oh, you'll have the joy of the Lord, and that will take you through all kinds of trials. But many a person who has gotten along reasonably well with their mate when they were compatriots in sin spoiled that marriage when they came to Christ and became a new creature in Christ and couldn't live that way anymore, and their mate wasn't at all happy about losing their partner in sin. An unconverted person enjoys sin. A converted person can't enjoy it anymore. So much for the happy marriage. Beware of a gospel presentation which tries to present everything on a human level, a happiness level, instead of in the greater terms of who God is and who man is and why there is such a need for this gospel and what are the eternal stakes. That's what we need to be listening for and looking for. But sin will distort that if it can. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.